Hi and welcome to the Expansive Podcast. My name is Eric Kruger and this is our final episode for 2020, the year that has been 3 or 4 years long. And of course, joining me on the podcast is my ever-elegant co-host, Mr. John Sane. John, welcome to the final episode of 2020.
Wow, we made it alive. Lucky us. Many people didn't. And intact, mostly. Some people's emotions aren't intact, and ours have been up and down with them. So thank goodness that we have made it to the end of the year. And welcome to everybody. Thank you for joining us again for this podcast. It's always a pleasure having people join up and make comments about it and just engage with it. Always still surprised at how many people far-flung around the world comment on the podcast. So to everybody, thank you and welcome and congratulations to you to making it through 2020. I hope it's been as seamless as possible, but I doubt that it's been totally seamless. But whatever has happened, I hope that it hasn't been too serious and that you're excited about developing something new for the next sort of year or so that we're coming through. So Eric, how's the year winding down been for you and what have you been up to? And give us a quick brief.
Yeah, so I mean, the past 2 weeks, I've pretty much been man down. Thought I had COVID, did the test, came back negative. Actually went and also did the antibody test where they prick your finger. And it was funny because Dan and I both went to do it. And then she sent the picture of her blood test or her little strip test to my family group. And my dad thought it was a pregnancy test.
Oh, wow.
It looks kind of the same. she didn't lead with, we went for our antibody testing. Oh, so he kind of freaked out a bit. But it came back negative as well. So yeah, I've been man down. To be honest, I haven't felt very effective at all over the past few weeks. Yeah. Today is the best I've felt. And yeah, I'm actually, in a way, it's been a good break. And I actually feel like ramping up into the rest of the year instead of ramping down. So it's kind of a weird
space. You've had a forced sort of rest.
Rest, yeah. And yeah, now I'm already thinking. But that always happens to me as well in December, is that I get to sort of mid-December and I'm ready to go again. And then I get really frustrated because everyone else is still on break.
Yeah. Look, there are some countries in the world that don't think about Christmas. Saudi Arabia and the Middle East. Mm. Go and start doing business there because everything's as normal there. It's weird. Nothing's like, there's no holiday there. What are you talking about? What's Christmas? That's not a holiday.
Listen, of course, well, before I say what's been happening for you, I want to say congratulations on another bestseller. That's number 4 in the bag. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It was a great relief and exciting prospect. On Friday last week, we got the list. 9 overall best-selling book in South Africa and second on the non-fiction book, only behind the K53 licensing book, which doesn't really count. But either way, very good, very happy. It was amazing. I felt such a sense of relief and excitement and joy once it had achieved. And it's almost like I slumbered into like a, after we received that. So yeah, a lot of hard work and a lot of focus and attention has been going into the book for the last sort of 6 months. And so really happy that it's been delivered and received so well. And I see it keep popping up in different exclusive books is using it. Maverick is using it. Take a Lot's using it as marketing and pulling customers in. So yeah, just exciting, you know, really good. And I'm glad it's out the way because I've started writing my new book and my excitement is really bubbling up about my new book. And people are still asking me to talk about stuff from Future Next, which is obvious because they've just gotten it. But you know, when a book's eventually reached the shelf, you stopped working on it months before. And so the editing and the re-editing is really not my favorite thing. And so I'm excited about the new one and excited that it achieved that bestseller status. So thank you.
You know, it's quite interesting as well about that is you look at Simon Sinek, right? And like Start With Why. I mean, that's actually really old by now. I think it's like 10 years maybe.
Yeah.
And like to still be talking about that, I think it must be quite, I don't know, maybe he doesn't find it that difficult, but like you have to have that release of an idea and you almost wanted to let it go. But like this idea of his is so
made
perennial,
such an
I guess, like that you still have to be speaking about it. Like how would you feel if you had to still speak about Future Next a year from now?
What are you talking about? Time? People ask me to talk about What's Your Moonshot from 4 years ago.
Do you still do that?
I've just got an order for 200 copies of what you mentioned. Some company.
But do you still talk
about Vodacom?
It?
Look, I think just like Simon, I mean, his next book is called Infinite Games, right? So it's an extension of your why. It's so, and if you think about Gary Vee's books, they're all extensions of each other. And so you can't really go far afield for away from your topic. I mean, it's just what you're passionate about. So yes, I speak about What's Your Moonshot, but in very different terms now, not using the same language as before. And just like Infinite Games has started the why, but in different language and in different terms. So it's always the same theme. It's always the same theme. And for all of us, I guess, you know, your next book is going to be about leadership again, because that's what you know. That's how you're good at, and self-motivating and discipline and leadership is your game, you know? So
yeah, I actually have the idea for my next book.
You haven't even finished this one yet. What are you talking about?
I know, but you know how it goes. You know how it goes.
Okay, so you're writing Dangerous. What's the next book? Are you allowed to tell us?
No, not yet. No, I'm still letting it percolate a bit.
Okay, good. Jeez, it's like this ridiculous thing that we keep popping books out. It's like somebody actually last night I was at dinner and somebody said to me, "Jeez, man, you're writing another book. That's unbelievable." I'm like, guys, this is actually what I do. It's not like, it's not on the side. They were like, geez, where do you get the time? I'm like, it's what I do with my time. It's not where do I get the time. I don't have a full-time career and writing a book, you know? Writing a book is my career.
That's brilliant.
So, yeah. I think it's good to remind everybody. It's like, everybody's so impressed. You're like, well, okay, yes, you can be impressed, but I mean, that's not the point. The point is what I actually do.
It's what I'm supposed to be doing.
Exactly. I don't know what I'd be doing with myself if I wasn't writing another book. But what an amazing thing to be able to do and to demystify the process of writing a book, because, you know, and I'm sure you suffered from the same thing as me. It's like, how do you get 400 pages of thinking? Like, where does it even come from? And then when you start, you're like, oh my God, I've got so much information inside me. It's, I don't even know where it's coming from, you know?
You know, Dangerous has been a very interesting book to write, because the first one was obviously just a compilation of different ideas. Like, there was no central thread going through. Mm. Whereas with Dangerous, there's a very specific thread.
Yeah.
And I've actually, like, it's been really difficult to piece it all together. And I've actually just put a call out just before we jumped onto the podcast today to say I want to speak to 15 people about what makes them dangerous. Because I've noticed that when I have coaching sessions, that's where I get most of my insight actually about how to talk about this book. So I feel like I need more raw material, more people into the process. But listen, so we already kind of halfway into the podcast, and today is really about a recap of 2020. And specifically about the words that we chose for the year, because and we'll do that as a very first episode into 2021. I'm really excited for the podcast and how we're going to approach it in 2021, and we'll tell people more about that in 2021.
And will we do our word of the year first episode next year?
Yes, yeah.
Is that how we're planning it? Okay.
Yes. Cool. And then, but for today, you know, your word for the year, well, I'll let you introduce it. No, let me just say, I'll tell people. So your word was fluid. That was the word that you chose for 2020. What I want to know from you is, how did this word play out for you this year? And perhaps I'll just leave it there for now, and then I'll ask you some follow-up questions to that.
Okay. Well, to all the listeners, you can hear who the coach is in this partnership, right? It's like Eric's got all the questions, right? This is all cool. Look, my word was fluid. And let's just think back to December last year, January. I was sitting in Dubai. You were sitting in a different home, right? You actually weren't in this home that you're in right now.
Yeah.
I moved in your other home.
December.
And so remember that, I mean, our lives were fundamentally different. And it was a trajectory second to none. We were just so busy. Things were so ample, I guess, you know. And so I chose the word fluid, because I wanted to be adaptable to whatever came. I didn't want to have any jagged edges. I wanted to be more accepting and quite generally more fluid. And I was amazing, because what I did was I changed all my passwords on all my banks and everything to fluid something, 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 dish, dish, dim, something, something. And every time I engaged with my computer, opening it, closing it, sending a mail, my email address was fluid@johnsarnold.com. All of these things, every time I engage with that word, it reminded me of my theme. So it wasn't as though I just made the word. I was just constantly reminded by it and that I should be more accepting of what's going on around us. So two major things that really were a fantastic sort of result of this word. One was my total fluidity and seamlessness in moving countries and moving from Dubai to my parents' farm. In within 24 hours, I made that decision and it was absolutely seamless and fluid and it worked out really well. And just a week later, the airports closed. So as far as that's concerned, my behavior was very much on track with what I was looking for. And then while on the farm, I decided to move to Cape Town and I got an apartment on top of the ocean, quite literally, in Clifton. And I am surrounded by water, fluid. And water, as a Cancerian, as I am, always has a very deep healing process with me. You know, even in Dubai, I live near the water. And so being back in Cape Town has been an incredibly healing process for me, dealing with some deep, deep stuff that's come up for me. And being around the ocean 24 hours a day. And in fact, when it's storming and there's wind and there's howling, the ocean is everything but relaxing. It wakes me up because it's so loud, because there's no rhythm to it. You know, there's like there's just waves crashing from everywhere, wind blowing, and so it's been fluid both aggressively and mostly passively. And living inside on top of the water has given me this ability to heal on a much deeper level that I don't think I would have had if I was living in concrete or not looking and being with the ocean. So it's themed my year in a beautiful way. And I think I've been as fluid as I possibly could be. But yeah, it's a word that's been with me, you know, in my subconscious and imprinted. And we must remember that language is such a fantastically powerful thing that even language itself is telling us certain words mean certain things without us even realizing it. One of the ones I learned today was television. Let me tell you my vision, or tell lie vision. And that television has been this propaganda machine, you know, for so long. And just that word itself is telling you what's going on with it, you know. So language is so, so key. And there's so many of these words like intimacy. It's into me, you see. And there's so many of them. So using words and language to theme your year and theme your movie that you're in, it was just such a fantastic word to have.
And where do you feel like there hasn't been fluidity in your life? Like, where do you feel that this year you've been, because obviously with COVID, you know, where's the obstruction been? Or I'm looking for, you know, where fluidity hasn't been as easy to apply.
I think accepting the fact that all our income evaporated, that was tough. That was really tough, you know. I got to count my blessings that I was living on the farm with my parents. I didn't have any expenses. So it was okay. It kind of like crossed each other out. I wasn't living in Dubai paying those rents and, you know, using all that money. But it was tough. It was tough being flicked off the stage, quite literally and figuratively. And I think that was tough. And I kind of dealt with that while writing Future Now. Around Mourning of Future Memories and the drama triangle and all those things really start to dawn on me that those tool sets are important for me to become more fluid. So I was quite active in trying to become aware and then trying to fix.
And at the moment, do you feel like there's any sort of areas where you aren't as fluid as you need to be?
No, I think the total acceptance that the world we're in right now is going to be with us for the next few years. The idea that you want to go visit London, and the response always is, which London? The one pre-COVID and the one right now and the one post-COVID are very different Londons. And just easing into that. You know, I remember waiting for the airports to open so I could go to Greece on holiday And I'm talking this year, right? And just releasing the idea that I need to go anywhere. In fact, I made a post about it on social media. I said, happiness isn't only about what you have. It's about also what you don't need to worry about. And fluidity is really about that. It's about what can you take away from your decision-making process that can make you feel more relaxed. And me not going back to Dubai next year, me not craving to go traveling anymore because realizing that traveling isn't what it used to be. Just the flight itself is terrible. You can get COVID because you're more exposed to more people. Where you arrive at your destination, it's going to be crappy because nobody's out. So releasing all those things has made me feel a lot more fluid and a lot more seamless and just actually quite content, which has been quite a nice surprise, you know?
Yeah, I think it's been great because it's both a decision-making tool in that way, and it's also a sort of a stance towards the challenges that you are facing.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Well said. But okay, enough about me. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about your word, and let's talk about how it played out for you this year, and where was it powerful for you?
So my word was dangerous.
I always feel like doing this. Dangerous. It's a Michael Jackson. Every time you say that, I always want to sing dangerous. Like, I got a horrible voice, so don't worry about that. But I remember waiting in the queue of getting his Dangerous album. It was the first time a disc was gold. Remember, the CD was actually gold. Dangerous. Okay, carry on. Sorry.
Way before my time.
MP3,
so what can I say?
You liar. But yeah, anyway, okay. Yeah, you're not that young about that. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so dangerous. That was my word for the year. And obviously, like, I've had a very strong affinity to the word now for quite some time, for about a year and a half. And the reason why I themed it accordingly was because it was going to be the year to write the book and to really go deep into applying it into coaching, applying it into facilitation. And also, I think, you know, when I initially stumbled across the idea of being dangerous, I also recognized in myself that I was not being dangerous. I was being harmless. And I didn't want to be that. Like, I wanted to be, like, just the most effective, the most powerful version of me in 2020. And so two things happened. I think the first thing that happened is that 2020 made me or rendered me harmless many times. You know, we had this initial reaction to COVID, which we've spoken about, to lockdown, where we just went full on into offensive mode. I think we were really dangerous when it struck, and then we had this delayed fuse, where I, just speaking for myself, I became really harmless. And I woke up embodying everything that harmless is about. Demotivated, deflated, defanged, declawed. Like, I experienced that firsthand. And what it made me think of is when I was still a physiotherapist, you know, you would always be working with people who'd just gone through surgery, major trauma. And you'd be pushing them because you knew it was good for them. But they would be sore and they'd be fatigued, you know, and they wouldn't feel like it. And then very often, like, but I mean, you have a certain level of empathy with them for what they're going through. But every now and then, you would get sick. And it actually doesn't happen that often because when you work in that environment, I think your immune system becomes quite strong. But you would get sick. And then you'd wake up one morning not feeling ready to get up, fatigued, in pain, et cetera, et cetera. And actually going through that gives you a lot more empathy and understanding for where people are at. And I think it actually makes you a better physio
person.
And so actually, like, you know, being harmless this year, I think has actually made me see it a different side of what it means to be dangerous, because I always work with high performers. And so it's always been about taking them from here just to a higher level.
Yeah.
So it's actually been good to kind of just feel what it feels like to be harmless, and to also understand the amount and the immense energy that has to go into moving you from, like, the energy that needs to go in from 0 to 1 is a lot less than from -1 to 0. That's what I really felt this year.
Got it.
So that was the one part of it. But the second part was that.
So what you're saying is that you had no empathy before. What you're saying indirectly.
I'm trying to read between the lines.
I was a bit of a psychopath before this. Now I feel people's pain. Before I was numb to it. These useless peasants. Yeah, no kidding. Okay, yeah, sorry. I interjected. Second one, please.
Second one was that it was just a great call to action. You know, like, I think we've had many call to actions like be resilient or be anti-fragile. The call to action for me to be dangerous has been something that's kept me focused on moving forward. And the last thing, which is actually really interesting, is that, you know, I think where fluid and dangerous, where they differ slightly, is that dangerous is also just content for me. It's also part of a content stream, right?
Yeah.
And it's by far been the thing that's made me the most money this year.
Mm.
So in a way, like, it's also, it saved me in that way. It's built my business in this way. Just the fact that it's been something that I focused on.
I think it's such a unique take on the... Yeah, but it's just such a unique take. And I think that language in itself is so sticky. And you've created a term that other people know, but just in a new way. And it's created stickiness for you. And it's also given you a point of anchor into being dangerous, reminding yourself to be dangerous, and also having the audacity to ask for those numbers or want to engage with those types of clients in the most dangerous way possible. So it's been fantastic to watch you do it as well. So yeah, congrats. That's really great.
Thank you. Thank you. And I agree with you, you know, that the language that we use shapes our world. Like, that's just, it's just fundamental. This morning when I was on a coaching call with a client, and, you know, as soon as I speak to them about being dangerous, just having the language, not having anything else, not understanding the context, the layers, the applications, just having the language excites you. And it already orientates you in a certain way of acting and thinking and showing up. And so we need to be more attentive to the way we speak and what we speak out into our own worlds and into our own lives. But I also think that people should really pay attention to, like, what word, and this is a good thing to start thinking about now in the lead up into 2021, is what word do you need to anchor yourself around coming into a year where we've just had, like, it's been a crazy year in many different ways. Like, what word are you going to use that's going to anchor you, or that's going to elevate you, or that's going to help you break through whatever's been happening for you? Start thinking about it now, and start thinking about it in terms of the outcome that you are trying to create in your life.
Yeah, I think the thing is also, it doesn't have to be a word like dangerous to catalyze you. It can also be like, you know, I use this example. My friend Amir, he's got two kids, new young kids, and his word was boundary. And it was weird because I was like, what do you mean boundary? He's like, geez, dude, I just need time. I don't have any time to me. And I was like, that's such an interesting word, because it really just depends on where you're at in your life. And so it doesn't have to be a hoorah, rah, rah word. It can also just be, I just need a bit more elegance in my life, or I just need a bit more time in my life, or whatever it may be. But just, it's important to theme it, and it's important to have it as an overarching sort of type of story you want to tell. You're like, is it a drama? Is it an adventure? Is it a relaxing movie? Is it a lullaby? Like, what is it? And everything is valid. You know what I mean? It's all of it's valid. I also think this culture of, you know, porn hustle, as they call it, also isn't really the thing. And I think COVID's taught us that this year, is that nobody was really spending enough time with their families. Nobody was really spending enough time with their house. Like, most of us weren't, because, not because we weren't trying, it's just, it wasn't important. And now it's just become important. So I think it's also important to take that into account. And it's not always about achieving. Sometimes it's just about celebrating, or it's just about being content, and that's okay. And I think we've got to be okay with either or. But if you want an energetic year, absolutely. If you want a high energy or calm year, that becomes your choice. Spend some time thinking about the word. I have already got my word. It came to me in an ayahuasca ceremony a few months ago. And so I've also been thinking about that word. I mean, in fact, I've started to learn how to spell it, because it's quite a hard word to spell. And so we'll talk about that word next year when we kick in, and your word. But yeah, it's been a fascinating year. It's been a gift wrapped in sandpaper, and a lot of people haven't got through to the gift yet. They're still in the sandpaper, and other people have already got to the gift. So we've got to see it as that. And I think just one thing that I want to end this off with is that 2021 is not going to be easier. Nobody must come with this ridiculous notion that we're going to go back to normality. I think if anything, it's going to get a lot harsher. I think it's going to get a lot more complex and complicated. The domino effects of all the bankruptcies and all the socioeconomic questions and the Black Lives Matter and all these things are still going to be working through, and there still has to be solutions while we watch the old world implode, while we watch the old ideas that we used to trust so much really start to expire right in front of our eyes. And yeah, it's scary, but it's also exciting. We are alive in the time of the world where it's doing this massive transition. And you know, how many people can say they were alive through that? And so, yeah, quite a lucky thing to still be here.
You know, I think I'm really happy that you said that, because there is this kind of feeling that 2021 might be different. It's going to be a continuation of what we've been experiencing. But I think the best thing that you can do is just hit it with energy. Like, come into 2021 ready for it. It's been a tough year. Take some time off. Like, just create the capacity again that you need, so that when you hit the ground in 2021, it's going to be challenging, but it's going to be through the threat. It's going to be through the challenges that we actualize, that we become more than what we are. Brother, thank you. This is our first full year of doing the podcast. From Jan all the way, we were consistent. We made it. Thank you. It's been a phenomenal journey so far. The podcast has taken us across the world, literally. It's zoomed us into many different organizations, and it's been a hell of a ride. Thank you. I've enjoyed every second of it, and I've learned so much from you. And I look forward to continue learning things from you in 2021 as we bring even... I think we should even have a word for the podcast next year.
Oh, okay.
That's actually a good idea, I think.
That's a good idea. Yeah, it is a little entity on its own, right?
Yeah.
It's nice to give it some personality as well.
Mm.
I think we must have something themed around dogs. But I'm kidding. Look, Eric, thank you so much as well. You know, if the listeners don't know, you do all the production on the podcast itself, and it's always such a win for me. And also, we're such vastly different personalities. I also learn a lot from your calmness and your insights. And so thank you as well for making the space for it and always making sure that we're getting the podcast done. You are the sort of gatherer of us. You are the one who does that. So
the competitive achiever. Just
the competitive achiever. Exactly. That is you. That's his Enneagram number, just by the way, if anybody knows Enneagrams.
You were the assertive, the bastard controller. What?
Whoa. Calm down.
I'm trying to.
Active controller.
Sorry.
Bastard controller. Jeez. That went south quickly. Bastard controller. Yeah. Look, active controllers, I think there's more dictators in the world in active controlling. It's one of my traits that I'm working on. Try and soften your dictatorship. I think that's the theme. Anyway, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
And we'll see you and chat to you in 2021. Ciao.
Yes.